He called Father. When you call Father, what comes to your mind? When you call Father, call your Father, what do you think? Oh, he's a very, very unstable Father. Or he is a very kindly Father. How about you think of your Father? Father reminds us a earthly family setting. Father shows our internal relationship with somebody which holds a very important direction for our personal life. If your father is a kind, loving father, you might have a very stable emotion condition. If your father is not like that, you need to come to Father God, because Heavenly Father is the one who cares us more than our earthly father. I had contact with some people that their family background, fatherhood is not good. So in his younger years, the struggle is obvious, and then it come up to adulthood, and he had trouble to see that how can he be a man? Be as faithful, as strong as he should be. He, like his friend, to be that kind of young man. But because of his father showed some shadow in his life, so he cannot be as strong as other young men. Until he come to counseling, using Bible weekly, and we prayed for him, and this man becomes knowing that God's Father gave him a time of reassurance. The earthly father tends to be very restrictive and very want to show love, but does not know how to demonstrate love. Want to assure him, accept him, yet many times push him away. So he ended up going to the best school in Taiwan, but he came to the counseling session when we found out that he had some habits, you know, trying to clean up so much. Because there is an internal instability, there is an internal unsettledness that his father imposed on him. So about a year, we spent time together each week talking about God the Father, the love Father God shows through Jesus Christ. So this man grow in Christ. This man grow his relationship with his Heavenly Father, and he becomes strong. So when Jesus uttered, Father, I entrust you my spirit. He says a very basic need for everybody, man and woman, young man, young woman, boy and girl, everybody, we need to come back to our Heavenly Father. Seeing from this prayer, we see that Father for Jesus Christ is one of the most used terms. He does not use those big words in the Old Testament. He just used Father here, which shows he and the Father are very close. In John 10:30, he said, I and the Father are one. So teaching his disciples to pray in Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:9-13, can you recite that one? Our Father in heaven. So Jesus teach his disciples, you and me, pray the Lord's Prayer, actually starting from Father in heaven. Oh, Dad, I'm there. How about that? Don't just quote Father, Heavenly Father. You just go, hey, Dad, heaven. How about Father? Okay? That's something we need to practice. That's something we need to grab hold on, because that will change our internal understanding of the relationship. Very basic. Because 2 more weeks will be what day? Father's Day. Americans' culture for 50, over 50, 60 years now, lost men in the house, lost fathers in the house. The church we attended in Philadelphia, when I was studying in Westminster Seminary, Theological Seminary, that church, for some time, they had a sermon series about finding fathers. Fathers, where are you? Not only because many men in marriage disarrayed, they're in many broken families, many single mothers. And you know, recent news, actually last week, Americans now have 40% one breadwinner household, which is women. Women now account 40% of breadwinner in American society. That means the traditional man's role, father's role, in American household has been drastically changed. So, young man and young woman, you need to come back to the Bible to find out our Heavenly Father, and to be a man and woman, to have a stronghold in the Word of God, to reconstruct your manhood and womanhood, and come back to the basics of knowing who God is. He's not a God far away. He's God our Father. Indeed, He's the God of our Father. Abba Father. Indeed, Abba Father. Father in heaven. Dad up there. Talk to Dad up there. Or Dad here. When you pray to God, when you are in your bedroom in the night, hey, Dad, now, I'm your arm. I'm sleeping. Hold me. Care for me. Is that big hand? Okay? Put yourself in that picture. You are there. Your name on that baby. You are cared. You are loved. You are held by Dad. A dad who loves you more than your earthly dad. Bible says so. Psalm 103 says so. Earthly father, we care for our children, but our heavenly father cares more. So, today, through Jesus' last words, Father, I entrust you my spirit, which is a very loving and trusting words. You need to have that kind of prayer. Every day in the morning, talk to his dad. Hey, Dad, I put my day in your hand. Hey, Dad, I want you to guide me. Dad, hold me. Dad, comfort me. Dad, I need you. Talk to our God in a very close statement. In a statement that you will touch Heavenly Father's heart, you will find out that brings you a really important relationship, that you are a child of God. Just repeat this prayer, okay? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For you, if you forgive your other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So, Dad, help me. When I feel grudge against others, I have complained against my teachers, when I'm not satisfied with my household father, my mother in the next room, When I have trouble with my siblings, please give me the forgiveness, the grace that I can say, okay, I have let go. Okay, God, you know, Father, Heaven, up there, you know what's going on in my household here. Just quietly tell your Heavenly Father. He will come in and change your heart, and even will change your father or your mother or your siblings. Or most of all, when your heart calls to Father up there and here in your heart, that you know, when your heart being changed, your eyes, your perceiving of what's going on will change also. That's the beautiful part of this prayer. Because He is in control. The big hand means He is in control. The big hand also means He will form the man and woman you're going to be. Even I said to that to myself. Compared to Lao Ye and Ye Bobo, they are 90s and 87. I'm still young, very young, 30 some years younger. So I think I'm still has a lot. I'm growing in a direction, and so for you too, that you can grow. God will form you. That big hand is potter's hand, where His clay. He's going to form you the kind of man and woman with the passion of Heavenly Father, like Jesus has. You will have the same kind of power as Jesus has. You will do the great things Jesus can do, because John 15 says so. Okay, God is the vine dresser. He cares for this garden. He cares for you. He is forming you to be kind, the kind of people that will have a kingdom character. The people to be different kind with others. Don't compare to others. God will show what is His purpose for your life. So, this prayer, you know, God is in control. The kingdom is in your heart. That means He directs everything. So don't let what others are doing to influence you, but come to this prayer every day. Your needs, God will give you. And now in American situation, American culture, it's much harder for younger generation. Too much choices, too comfortable, too much information, and you lost into all the webs. The webs looks good, but the webs also has a lot of tanglement. The tanglement means too early temptation, and you gotta know how to make your choice. So, knowing that God the Father will give you wisdom, so you need to come to the prayer like Jesus has. Lord, I commit my life in your hand, my last choice in your hand. I am not able to make a lot good choice, but Lord God, give me your wisdom. That's why Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust Lord your God in your ways. Don't rely on your own understanding. So, when you read the Bible, not even Pastor Zhao's understanding is good. Neither those commentaries. No, the best comes from your daily reading. Because God is teaching you. Holy Spirit is under Heavenly Father's direction to teach you. You will learn more. I expect you to be more spiritual. That's why we started inductive Bible study. Because you come back to the basics of the Bible. Who is happening? What is going on? What Jesus is doing here in this passage, especially today? What happened on the cross? What's under the cross? What the other two on the cross? Who's speaking there? You see, when you go through this, you go through the steps, through the process. When God was doing something in that situation, now your life, you come to that passage, God is using the passage to speak to you now. So in Doctor's Bible study, for the first time this past Friday, our youth council started to use it. I'm glad you started to use it. Do you like it? Yes? And we will try it more, okay? And later on, Jeremy will get an announcement about the summertime youth Bible study groups. So I hope you all will go into your own learning. God will teach you. Truth is not just repeated by others. Truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, the life, the way, and the life. So you come to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. God is teaching you. You are the child of God. God is treasure you more than pastors do, more than your parents do. He will raise you up. The world is more challenging now than we were. Like last week, the elder Summer said, America now has come into the stage that you say the Bible words, others will come to say, hey, that's not right. The law says you cannot say homosexuality is not right. Soon, this month, the Supreme Court will make an announcement. Chick-fil-A cannot operate in Chicago because they have held one man, one woman, a husband and a wife for a lifetime. Focused love, one love, marriage. So they will boycott and they cannot operate there. Church might be in that direction soon if we stand on the Bible. How would you respond? Sometimes, like China during Cultural Revolution, pastors being sent to concentration camp, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, or being handed out. So only you, small, younger brothers, sisters, you have Bible, come to household Bible studies. That's why now you learn Bible study yourself. You can learn and you can apply. You can know the truth of God. You can be a strong coming generations. You have a mission to know the word of God yourself. To make choice, not based on others' influence. That's why I do not like to tell you, hey, this Bible means this. Sometimes I give you, but more you need to learn. Because if you have just a habit, hey, pastors say so, that the certain theologians say so, the certain books say so, how about you? That's why the cultural influence, media, others say, people follow. But the habit of listening to others, you must have a way like Jesus had. Father, I give you my life. Today you need to pray. I give you I give my life to you. That's how I made my decision. I found science is not the truth at all. I started to check out science books. When classic Newtonian physics laws changed into relativity, Einstein's physics laws, I found, physics is not always truth, that is not unchanging. It changed from Newton to Einstein, and Einstein admitted he put some wrong number in his formula. So I think, what is truth? Eventually I found out. Someone shared with me and I read Bible. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Have you tried yourself? You have to try to find out what Bible says. Read the Bible yourself. Jesus not influenced by others. He always talk to Father. He always try to learn. Father, three times. First time, Father forgive them for they do not know what they're doing. Out of his own initiative, he say, forgive others. On the cross, he is not just fulfill Father's command. Out of his own choice, he said so. And the second one, he voluntarily carry everybody's, you and me, every human being's sin. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He carried all our sin, the burden, the darkness, the judgment. Father, this God's holiness, remove his presence. So his prayer becomes from Father to God. Remember, God is someone just holy, just, more of a judgment. The second statement is a statement, oh, you are judgment that you lift me. See, if our earthly father does come to you and say, hey, you made a mistake. What do you say? Each time your father comes out, I'll hide. I made some mistake. I don't want him to know. See? That's how Jesus showed us. We need to come to the third prayer. Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. So Father is a very frequently used term. When he was 12 years old, he said, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? And then in the Sermon on the Mount, he used the word father more than 15 times. And in the upper room discourse and his high priestly prayer, John 17, our Lord Jesus Christ called Father many times. And there, he showed his closeness with Father, because he said, oh Father, I want to remind you about our love between the creation of the world. Now, I finished the mission now. I want to extend my love, the love between you and me to the people that I use my life to sacrifice for them, extend to them. That means he's saying, Jesus is saying that when I die on the cross, that's the love extended from the eternity that you and me have to the people. So on the cross, Jesus actually demonstrates that from his own initiative. And in John, he said, it is not others who takes away my life. I give my life voluntarily. So the relationship between Heavenly Father is the one that on this verse is Isaiah said, Father, in Father's hand. Let's read Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So this is what Jesus prayed into your hands. The hand that holds and creates and holds and directs the universe. And and also the hand that we started to look at. The hand holds you and me. Okay? And the hand that that understands you and me. The prayer, actually Jesus in his praying Gethsemane showed his relationship with Father like this one. Struggling, but he said, not according to my will, but yours. I know the bitterness, the cup of bitterness is coming. I know, what he says, I know the cross is a big struggle. Very, very fierce struggle, but I want to hold those struggles in your hand. Yours, not mine. So prayer is Jesus' example showing that we need to come to Him because He engraved you and me. Psalm 49:16, let's read. See, I have engraved you in my palm of my hand. So we are our names. Our life is in His hand. So we are in good hands. So this is one that I've mentioned to you. We are in His hand. So through Jesus, into Father's hand, we also being Heavenly Father's hand. No one can take us away. We are in His hand. Because of that great relationship, Father and Father God and Jesus Christ has, that we also enjoy this very close relationship, that we could have faith in Him. And now for us, the issue is what? The issue is control. We have an idol of control. We want to self-control. We feel losing control of our life if we can find out the next 10 steps, 5 steps, 15 steps, 20 steps, and we say, oh, something made me go wrong. But this is some paradox here. You need a plan, but you should not trust your own plan. You should be responsible, but you do not carry the burden of the fruit. Our faithfulness is to do what needs to be done. We need to do all the things we need to do. But it's God who sends rain. It's God who lets the crops grow. It's God who provides production results. Okay? So, we have anxiety. Okay, the second point is, two is important. We have anxiety. All anxiety because we want to make sure everything go as we planned. We have no rest. So we will think day and night. That's why we have so many uncertainty and we become so caught up. So I want that to think, we want us to think more. Where do you show your faith? Do we consider our life is in God's hand or in our hand? Even pastor, I tend to have that too. I want to make sure, hey, this is according to the plan, should be. So certain weeks ago, when we had baptism that day, and morning, well, I want to make sure every detail, and one of the ones being baptized said, hey, pastor, you're so anxious and you're sure and so uncertain. Why are you so nervous? I said, well, I want to make sure everything is in control. See? That's me. I don't know about you, but it is everybody's weakness. We need to come to accept that God is in control. Your life seems to be in your hand, but your life is really not in your hands. When someone died, you say, oh, how could he die so young? How could he looks like so healthy and he died suddenly? Or someone nearby died, that's even more, do not know how to do. That's why a couple of weeks ago we had will and trust. Okay? You should have some will, but your trust is in God's hands. You make plans for your life, but you must trust God. Otherwise, we become very, very unrestful. So, Ephesians 4:6 is a very good passage that tells us you tell everything to God, God will give you peace. Give you peace beyond your understanding. So, into God's hand. Do you really do this? Into your hands, do you really believe that Jesus resurrected and you have his risen power in you? Many times we do not trust. Many times we pray, yet we are not sure, so we start to do many things again. When we planned in the meeting, council meeting, I'm not even saying youth meeting, youth council meeting, church meeting, sometimes I go home and say, these plans seem to have some problem. Or that has some problem. I want to make sure. So I become reckless. I need to give my all concern in God's hand. And you know, sometimes I would wonder, oh, if someone lifts the building, turn the security alarm on. And sometimes when I came, I said, oh no, it is not on. So I said, oh God, thank you that nothing happened. I do not know what happened to you. Sometimes you may have similar situation happen to you. So we need to examine ourselves. Do we have true peace in God? Like Jesus made this prayer, that I entrust my spirit. Entrust means surrender, commit, and to place before the Jesus that is for his disciples, loves and fishes for the Last Supper. He entrusts ourselves. That's Lord's Supper here today. He entrusts us to the covenant he made, that we will be faithful, that we know that his sacrifice for us will change our life, and life will continue to be growing. So Lord's Supper, communion, means something that Jesus put his trust in us. And we need to put our trust in him, that our life through the regular time of remember his death for us will grow. So communion is not just a routine monthly ritual. It is a deep, deep relationship that we trust Jesus is in control. Our life we should examine. Do we grow? Or do we go back? Or do we stagger? Do we have a refreshing relationship with God every day? Or do we become dry and tired? We need to put every trust in God. I said before, also means said before them a parable. That means a spiritual food. So when Jesus is teaching, he's preparing and trust his truth to us. And the third one is to commit to another for a fully charged. This is what it means here. When we put our life in Jesus, in God, in Father, through Jesus Christ, we want to surrender to him. Jesus surrendered himself. He will not say anything. And we should do the same way too. So we need to come to the table with a heart saying, Lord God, I want to put this important decision in your hands. Help me to trust you. Help me if I need to make some change. That's how I do myself. Each time when I sermon, each time when I have Bible study, I would come to God saying, I think this is what I learned to you today. But during the process, teach me again. So even now, I'm learning. I'm learning God is teaching me through the teaching process I'm teaching you. Because I'm not speaking here. Father God is speaking here. Like in Bible study, when you are doing inductive Bible study, the leader is not the real teacher. Holy Spirit is the real teacher. Because John 16, 12 says so. the truth of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He comes to lead us enter into the Word. So that he's the one. He's much, much bigger. He knows everything. So that this is entrustment. So through this entrustment, Jesus had Father's presence when he faced death. The same thing. When we have this trust, reading the Bible, we have this trust of following Jesus Christ for our daily life, God's presence will be with you. That's why when you read the Word in Bible study, you find, oh, God is teaching here. Last Tuesday night, I found that too. I just could not pick up what because I was supposed to make summary of what happened said. So I said to Jesus God, Father said, in Jesus, I talked to Father God. I said, what did I teach last week? And God showed me. He would teach me. So when open the Bible, started read again. That moment comes back. God showed me. Because the past week we just asked about the character. What are the characters? Chapter 8. Characters in there. And whole study just about who is what. Because the Jews, many of them, 31. Chapter 8, verse 31. Many of them believe in Jesus Christ. But the others, the leaders said, no, you are not true. Your witness for yourself is not true. So many Jews do not believe. So we checked who are there. So about an hour that we found out what's going on. And something that I learned that day, reminding me God is teaching me again. So for you, the same thing. Today I hope you know that when you hear the Word of God, when you are studying, you always want to learn. Talk to God the Father and He remind you. He will come to your mind. It is something like prayer, but it's more than just prayer. Or we say prayer is not just you say to God. You have to listen. Prayer and Bible study both the same way. A conversation with God. Like you are listening to my sermon now. I hope you are actively participate. Meaning, you have your internal dialogue with God. When I talk to you, you respond to God. Not I talk to you. You must understand. God's presence is here. The Hebrews 13:5 says, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. It's God's presence. So the Amplified Bible said, God Himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, in any degree, leave you helpless, forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So many, so deep, again and again and again, God's presence will be with you when you read the Word from your heart. Talk to God, Father, teach me. Father, guide me. Father, show me. Father, I put my suffering here into your hand. Like Jesus in his last moment, very painful moment on the cross, he entrusts his spirit to Heavenly Father. Bonhoeffer, the German seminarian, he protest German Nazi, and he was hanged, but he taught his fellow prisoner in the cell using God with us. So he was hanging there, dying. Whole prison loudly. Every room with this noise. God is with us. So I like to teach you. I like to share with you and I'll teach you. God is with us is a true relationship we need to practice, to realize, to use our spiritual sense to sense God is with me now. That's what Emmanuel means. God is with me now. So today, I will conclude our sermon here and go into Lord's Supper. Okay. Confess to God if you find yourself past week or past month, sometimes you do not understand what God is doing. Just saying, oh Lord God, I just do not have faith. I want to confess. I need to renew my faith in you, knowing that you are in control. I'm in your hand. I need you to revive me, to teach me, to listen to me. I know that you are true God. You are my Father. Okay?
You turn there, Corinthians. Are you there? Corinthians 11. Would you read for us? 23 to 32.
Thank you. I will ask James, would you pray for the bread? By man, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and
we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Once we are healed, his suffering brings healing. His suffering gives us a sense of completeness. We praise God and thank you. Give thanks to God and take it. And then after the bread, well, we ask, Jeremy, will you pray for the cup?
Today, Father, we thank you for this ultimate sacrifice of being the blood of his son that is still over us. Lord, we just come forward this broken, tired, and just unworthy of this grace. Lord, we just say thank you for it. Lord, we have times of speeches, we have times of calling, God, Lord. At all times, Lord, you are faithful. Your abundance of grace and love, Lord, thank you. So we thank you, Lord, we love you, Lord. For all you say, your son's holy name.
Amen. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. We give thanks to God for Jesus shed his blood for you and me. Please open your bulletin. We have some announcement here. This week's birthday, Joshua Zhao, Mao Shengling, Tercy Chen, and Tony Chen. We pray that they have a meaningful and fruitful coming year. Happy birthday to them, to you. And announcement, and a first one, we have iPad and iPod tutorial class past Thursday again. It was a very good one. We give thanks to Brother Rocky Wong, and the council meeting will meet today soon after the service.
And for June 16th, the church here, we have a special music team from Los Angeles. The Secretary General of Evangelical Reformation Church General Assembly will lead a sisters evangelical team here. So please make your date and invite friends. And July, we may have a baptism, but we may move to August because some candidates are busy. Continue to pray for mission trips for Taiwan and missionaries in Taiwan and other countries as well. And pray for English Pastor Search Committee ask God to send a new English pastor. And number seven, there are so many disasters. Again, in Oklahoma, there was another tornado. And early this morning, Taiwan has a serious earthquake. So pray for those there. And number eight, continue to pray the Supreme Court decision about same-sex marriage. And we ask Jeremy to give us some announcements for the small group.
Hi guys, in your pamphlet, do you have this little fill-out thing because the English small group thing? Just a quick rundown of what small group is. In college, I realized the importance of community and the importance of accountability, and all that came from starting from a small group. And then I realized during summer was an important time for a lot of students, because summer was a time when you're back home, when you're comfortable, and you just tend to be lazy and sit on the couch and do nothing, right? But I also realized that was an important time for our faith. It was either make or break our faith. And so I decided to come up with this idea of starting a small group. And so I feel like a small group will provide that sense of community, and it provides you a sense of just continue on your pursuit, your relationship with God. And so, as you see here, it has just four simple things, really. Your name, your email, your phone, and then if you're available Tuesday or Wednesday, go ahead and check what days you're available. If you're available for both days, go ahead and check for that. And so the idea of the small group was mainly for middle school, high school, and then single adults, but all are welcome to fill it out. And then after you fill it out, go ahead and you can hand it to me afterwards, and that'll be great. Alright, and if you have any more questions, go ahead and feel free to come ask me afterwards. And I think that is all. That's Jonathan.
Okay, any other things I need to remind everybody? Logging, yes. June 28th and 29th. July, sorry. June. Sorry, June 27th, 28th. We'll have a lock-in. 28th, 29th. Anyway, that's it. Last Friday and Saturday, that'd be easier. Remember, to mark the last week of June, Saturday and Friday and Saturday. invite friends and you yourself as well. It's time for a concentrated time here of enjoyment of a special meeting today, that day. Okay, anything else? If not, we'll receive God's benediction. Please stand up and brothers and sisters, aiming for the presence of Father, for he's the perfect God. Listen to his words and be in one mind, live in peace, and may the love of God the Father and peace be with you all. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Have a nice last week.